The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
You want to turn in your Bibles to Romans, the first chapter. I want to read to you this morning from verse 16 and 17. Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. Let's read in Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I want to talk to you this morning about not being ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is not my subject this morning, but I want to point out as a side note at this verse, notice what he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation. That's a key word right there. He does not say into salvation. But he says it will bring you unto salvation. To who? To any person in general? To anyone that desires to know the Lord? To anyone just having the opportunity? No, he says it's to everyone that believeth. So the only power that can be found in the gospel is to the believer. And then the question, of course, becomes, well, who is the believer and how do you believe? And Jesus, out of his own precious mouth, says several times in the book of John that those that believe, they already have eternal life. Now, the exact opposite is said in the religious world today, that if you will just believe, then you can have eternal life. If you will just find it within you to work it up and get it somehow. But Jesus' own mouth says that if a person believes, it means they have, H-A-T-H, past tense, they already have eternal life. So the only power that is found in the gospel is to the believer. Now, and let me ask you this question. Would you be ashamed of the power of God in any form or fashion? Would you be ashamed or deny the amazing power of God? Because Paul says, I am not ashamed of the power of God, of the gospel of Christ, which has the power of God to the believer within it. And notice he says in verse 17, for therein, now notice carefully, he does not just say there in the gospel, he's saying there in the power of the gospel to the believer is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. You see that one of the purposes of the gospel, one of the purposes of believing the gospel as a born-again child of God is so that we can identify with one another. It reveals itself from faith to faith. Notice it didn't say it reveals faith in you or imparts faith in you, but it reveals something that is already there. Is that not what happened to Cornelius when Peter went to preach to him in Acts the 10th chapter? Cornelius was already worshiping God, already serving the Lord, already praying, already leading his family, but he did not know the name Jesus. And even when Peter walked in the door, Cornelius fell down and worshiped Peter. And Peter said, get up, I'm a man just like you. And Peter went on and preached to him about Jesus. And what was inside already Cornelius was revealed from faith to faith, through the power of the gospel. See, who would deny the power of God? If we deny or are ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, then we deny the Lord himself. Now listen carefully. I'm going to tell you why this is on my mind. It's not always an easy road to believe the truth of salvation by grace alone. Now, I've told you before, and Sister Tracy sometimes says I tell my old stories too much, and I'm not going to tell the story again, but I do go all the way back to high school to find rejection when it came to believing the truth. I had one of my best friends tell me, and again, don't feel sorry for me, because back in those days, I didn't speak the truth in love. I spoke the truth in an argumentative way. But one of my best friends told me, he said, well, if you believe that way, you're going to hell. And, you know, that hurt. I just didn't like being told that I was going to hell, because I, in my heart, believed that the Lord loved me, and in some strange way, he caused me to love him, and I loved him back, you know. But my friend told me I was going to hell. because of that belief that I had. It's not always an easy road in believing the truth of salvation by grace. I go all the way back to high school. I could tell you I could tell you about times when ugly letters have been put in the paper. I could tell you about other times when people directly to my face, hopefully in later years, not because I was being ugly about it, but trying to speak the truth in love, they just would reject it outright. It's not always an easy path, believing in the truth of salvation by grace. Did you know in much a greater way, the Apostle Paul suffered incredible persecution? You know, being told, I'm not going to believe that, or being told, you're going to hell because you believe that, or being told, getting rejection in this life, it's really, in our society, it's nothing compared to what the Apostle Paul went through. So I try to lighten it up right off the bat. Nobody is looking to burn you at the stake. Nobody is, I mean, they may roast you at the dinner table, but they're not going to burn you at the stake, and they're not going to give you 39 lashes like they did the Apostle Paul. They're not going to stone you, at least not in the current society that we're living in. But can you imagine that when this truth was first presented and began to spread like wildfire throughout the world, the known world, that they actually would take someone like the Apostle Paul because of this truth? And they would stone him, and they left him for dead. So the Apostle Paul had been through many wars and battles. And yet, even through all that, he was able to say, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. So if you believe this morning that Christ is your only hope of salvation, if you have that within you and you see that the Lord is your only desire for salvation, well, then you have the power of Christ resting upon you. I love the song that we sang that Brother Bryce wrote, the one we sang this morning. Oh, may the power of Christ rest upon me. One of the ways that the power of Christ rests upon you is in believing the truth that we espouse and teach. But listen, there are some things to be ashamed of in this life. I remember a few weeks ago when Brother Neil preached to us on shame, that there's some things we should be ashamed of, our sin. And we're living in a society where so little is said about sin, and so little is said about the depravity of man, that no man is good within himself. There's so little said about that today that very few people know they even need to be ashamed. I mean, you watch the reality shows, or if you catch a glimpse of them, I hope you don't watch them. But all of that is just shame. It's just shame propounded. They're shame merchants. You know, it says in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve, before sin, it says they were both naked and they were not ashamed because they didn't have sin. And ever since sin entered the world, that's when shame comes along. Why do you think they hid themselves in the Garden of Eden? They were ashamed. Why do you think they sowed fig leaves so that the Lord wouldn't see them in their state of sin? They tried to hide. They were ashamed of what they had done. And there is so little shame out there today. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah, if you look in the book of Jeremiah 6, very well-known verse of Scripture, especially among Old Baptists, where it speaks of the old past, Jeremiah 6 and verse 15, listen to what it says. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. You know, they didn't have it within them to even blush. You know, the blush is when, you know, you turn red. There's some people that turn a lot redder than others. But here, the Lord is recognizing that there is some aspect of us blushing that carries over into being ashamed. And he said these people were so far gone with their sin, and they had so little understanding of what they needed to be ashamed of, that they wouldn't even blush. Is that not where we are today? There's no shame. Whatever show you turn on or whatever news you turn on, it's all fantastical. It's all incredible. And there's just broadcast. Even the hashtag Me Too stuff. You know, think about that. It's just broadcast the shame of the things that are done in darkness. You see? Just broadcast it. There's no shame. I would be ashamed to say some of the things that you hear regularly on TV. I remember laying on the floor of my grandmother McCool's den there, and she had a TV back in, all we had was antenna back in those days out in the country. We thought we were kicking up high, but we just had an antenna. And I remember there'd be a show or something come on, and she'd turn it, or I'd go out of the room. You know, I mean, it was just embarrassing to be sitting there in the presence of my grandmother and some of that stuff come on TV. I don't know. I hope that doesn't sting anybody here too much, but think about the things that are coming across that tube. And are we embarrassed? Do we even know to be ashamed? We ought to be thinking about this right here. He said there was a time when they didn't even blush. They didn't even know to be ashamed because they had failed to remember what sin was. Now watch this. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither could they blush. Therefore, they shall fall among them that fall. At the time that I visit them, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Over the years in the ministry, and I'm not just talking about presenting the truth of salvation by grace, but over the years in the ministry, there have been times in a loving, trying to speak the truth in love way that I have presented truth in a realistic way on a given situation many times. And the person would hear that truth. They would say, okay, I see what you're saying. Yes, I get it. And then they would just go off and do whatever they wanted to do. That's a frustrating thing for a preacher. I can't imagine how frustrating that is for God himself. When it says go to the right, the word of God, if it was that plain, and it is that plain in many circumstances, you can go left, you can go right. God's word says go right, and the person says, I'm going left. You see, that's what this is right here. And listen, the Lord says, here's a good way, here's a good path, you'll find rest for your souls. Aren't you excited? Don't you want to follow this path? And the people said, nope, we don't want to do it. We will not walk there. They didn't even know to be ashamed. There are things to be ashamed of, but then there are things that we should not be ashamed of. And of course, it's real simple. The things that have to do with the Lord and the church and the kingdom and the truth, we don't need to be ashamed of those things. Years ago, when we were kids, we enjoyed, Mom and Dad would take us once every couple years, we'd go up to Nashville. And that's back in the days when Opryland was there and the Grand Ole Opry, you know, it was just a big thing to do back then. It was close by, you know, 3 or 4 hours away. And so we'd go up there about once a year and we'd go to the Opry. And, you know, I don't know if you've ever, some of you don't even know what the Opry is. And I did not say opera, okay? It's the Grand Ole Opry. And so they'd take us, and sometimes we'd get a backstage pass through somebody we knew that was up there. And we'd ramble around the backstage, you know, getting autographs and things like that of people that most of you wouldn't even know. And so one time we got to go to an awards ceremony. And so all of the stars were sitting out in the audience at the Grand Ole Opry. And so I don't know how we got in there, but we were in there, and we were high on the cotton right then. Now, let me tell you. And so back in those, I know y'all can't believe this. I was 7, 8 years old. Brother Chris was, he was 12 or so. And I know you can't believe this, but he could be embarrassed and ashamed so easily. And so Mom handed me a program, and she said, you know, go and get anybody's autograph you want to get. And buddy, lickety split, here I go. I didn't have any reservations. I mean, I don't have any today, but I really didn't have any back then. And I started going up to this person, this star, that star, getting an autograph. I was having a time of life. And Chris just sitting there going, I can't believe it. I can't believe he's doing this. This is awful. I know the man that's walking around the state of Alabama right now shaking hands and asking for votes, Brother Chris. I know you can't believe that, but he was ashamed of me. But I'll tell you what, I got Jerry Clower's autograph. I got it. It's somewhere still at the house, too, by the way. And I even, you know how Jerry Clower, those that don't know Jerry Clower, go home and Google him. Go home and YouTube him. It's great, good, clean, family fun. But he had all these sounds that he would make. I went up to Jerry Clower as a 7-year-old, and I went, oh! And he said, good gracious, son, cuts. That's great, son. Let me give you my autograph. And Uncle Chris was just over there. I can't believe he just did that. He was ashamed of me. But I'll tell you what. By gobs, I got the autograph, even though he was ashamed of me. Matthew 10 and 32. Listen to the verse of Scripture here. Matthew 10 and 32. Love to hear those pages turning. Matthew 10 and 32. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Everybody automatically thinks, well, you know, if some killer walked in and said, I'm fixing to shoot up the place. And if you're a Christ believer, you know, let me know right now. And of course, you know, the question would be, are you going to kill me or are you not going to kill me? You know, that's interesting. And well, if you don't answer and you say, well, I'm, you know, you don't say you're a Christ believer, well, maybe he's going to shoot the ones that aren't Christ believers in this crazy time we're living in. Or if you say, well, are you a Christ believer? And you stand up and say, yes, I'm a Christ believer. And then you get shot. You know, just trust me. Just go ahead and say I'm a Christ believer, okay? But let me tell you something. That situation, 99.999999% probability is never going to happen to you. It's so rare that that happens. So that's what everybody automatically thinks of, though. Oh, you know, in that moment, you know, that glorious moment, whenever the opportunity to admit or deny that I'm following the Lord, you know, what would I do? Forget about that, okay? You know, you say, well, I don't know if I'd have the strength to do it. If that situation ever comes, I can assure you that God will empower you with the strength to stand for Him, and you won't even feel the bullet that goes through you. That's the way the dying grace works, okay? But forget about that. That's just a hypothetical that never happens to anybody. This is what I want you to think about. I want you to think about the Apostle Paul, who wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 8. I believe that Timothy struggled. Timothy struggled greatly with his stand for the Lord. He was very young when he started serving the Lord. Paul, he was probably 17, 18, 19 years old, and he served the Lord for decades. And he was like a son to the Apostle Paul. But if you'll read carefully with a context and with an eye to what Paul is saying, I think you'll find that Timothy struggled. He struggled greatly. He might have been an introvert. He might have not been real social. And he might have had, I know that he had stomach problems. And if you're a really good way to get, if you don't have stomach problems, a really good way to get stomach problems is to become a preacher. And really care, you know. That's a good way to get stomach problems. But Timothy had, Paul told him, he said, you know, take this particular medicine for your stomach, for your often infirmities. Timothy was a timid, possibly an introverted type person that really struggled. Notice what Paul says in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 6. He says, wherefore I put thee in remembrance, Timothy, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now watch how he emphasizes that gospel again. Remember, for I am not ashamed to declare unto you the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God to everyone that believeth. He says, God who has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. I'll tell you, light is powerful now. Listen, we often say the gospel is not the way you are born again. And that's true. The gospel is not the way that you get to heaven. That's true. The preaching of the gospel is not your ticket to heaven. But I'm telling you right now, we don't need to de-emphasize the gospel so much that we don't realize what it really is. And it is light in a dark world. You want a tool to fight back against the darkness of this world? It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says it's the power of God. It is the power of God to the believer, and it brings life and immortality, not to life, but it brings life and it brings immortality to light. You see? So what I'm preaching to you this morning, if God is with us and the Spirit is blessing, it's light for this life that we live. If you've ever been in the darkness, it's a bright light. I'm not going to tell one of my old sad stories about being lost on the side of a mountain in the darkness, but I'll tell you right now, the most powerful thing that I could have had on that particular night when I jeopardized my very family was a light, just a single little light. So if you've ever been in darkness, I can tell you right now, you know the value of light. But I'm telling you, on that mountain, that light, if I'd have had one, it wouldn't have given me life. It would have just helped me sustain my life a little longer and go a little further on the path. You need that light, child of God. Timothy needed that light because he was timid. Why do you think the Apostle Paul is telling him to stir up the gift that was in him? Hey, is it possible that he had let the gift diminish? Yes, that's possible. Is it possible that the darkness around him and the influence of wickedness and all of the wicked culture that he lived in and all of the threats that they received of bodily harm, do you think that may have caused him to suffer and diminish in his gift somewhat? And Paul says, don't you remember your grandmother? Oh, the Apostle Paul knew how to strike some strings, did he not? He says, I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which was in your grandmother and was in your mother. And don't you know when Timothy read that? Oh, what do you think he thought of? He thought of his grandmother. He thought of his mother. The Apostle Paul was trying to encourage this young man. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid to preach the gospel. Don't be afraid and don't be ashamed of me. He says, whereunto I am appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, the apostle Paul said, for I know whom I believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. The apostle Paul gives one of the greatest and most beautiful confessions that you've ever seen right there. And he says, I'm not ashamed because I know in my heart who I believe. And I know that it's not me keeping it, making it able. It's not me staying with it. It's not my perseverance. He says, I know he is able to keep me no matter what happens to me in this life. He says, that's why I'm not ashamed. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And he goes on and he says in verse 16, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. You see, the Apostle Paul was in prison. And there were those that were ashamed to call him a friend. May that never be the case with us. God forbid if somebody was ever in prison one day because of believing the truth, teaching the truth, following the truth. It's amazing to me how little is said out in the world today about sin and wickedness. You know, we'll just let that go. We'll let that slide. But let somebody start preaching the truth. And it stirs people up. Start telling them that salvation is by grace alone, that it's not man's job, it's not man's work or the preacher's work, but it's all the Lord's work. I get some people stirred up. I pray and hope that it stirs them up so much that they'll start studying their Bible because they'll just prove themselves into it when they start studying it. Salvation is only of the Lord. What about Peter? Oh my goodness. Jesus said that if you confess me, listen to this now. Listen, you want some heavenly implications here. Jesus says that if you confess me in this life, I will confess you before my Father which is in heaven. Another gospel says, I will confess you before the angels. Now you think about that. You say, well, and we're not talking about the one where the shooter walks in. We're talking about in the workplace. We're talking about in the home. We're talking about the husband and the wife. We're talking about the brothers and the sisters. We're talking about the siblings. We're talking about the friends that you have to stand for from time to time. I'll never forget when I was in high school, I got crossed up with somebody. Was walking into a game one night. It was my fault. I'm not no victim here, that's for sure. But, you know, you tend to talk and run your mouth a little bit in high school. At least I did. And I was walking into a game with one of my buddies one night, and the person I'd got crossed up with came up to me about 2 inches away from my nose, and he said, when you leave here tonight, I'm whipping you. And, I wasn't used to that kind of confrontation, not on the football field at least. I liked it on the football field. Like, go ahead, make my day, on the football field. But here we are, there's people everywhere. And I'll never forget, my friend did not know what was going on. And he didn't know whether I was right or wrong. And I was wrong. And my friend stood right there beside me. He was sweating bullets. He's just standing there, He didn't know what was fixing to happen. I didn't know what was fixing to happen. I'll never forget that friend that stood there right beside me. Whether I was right or wrong, he stood there beside me, and that gave me comfort. He didn't deny me. I was worthy of being denied. I was worthy of shame. But my friend stood there. And what a comfort that was to me. In Matthew, the 26th chapter. Actually, I want to go to John 13. Let's catch John 13 first, and then let's go to Matthew 26. Keep those pages turning. I love it. Hope I'm not going too fast for you. John, the 13th chapter. Jesus has just washed the feet of the apostles. They've just had an incredible, intimate time together. And in John, the 13th chapter, and let's start with verse 33. He says, little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, Thank you for Brother Neil's message this morning. That ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. And Peter, being the one that would often fire off at the mouth, he sort of missed the point again. He didn't pay attention to the love part, but he said to the Lord, he said, Lord, whither do you go? And Jesus says, whether I go, you cannot follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards. Now, Peter should have honed in on that right there. He said, you can't follow me now. You can't hang on the cross with me because I've got to do this alone. But Peter says, Lord, like a spoiled child, like, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I want to follow you. Can't you just see him stamping his foot? Lord, why? Let me follow you, Lord. He says, I will lay down my life for you. And Jesus looks at him, I no doubt, with steely eyes. And he says, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me three times. And then we find in Matthew 26, where he actually did that. Matthew 26 and 69. Peter was ashamed of Jesus. The one that just said, I'll never deny you. I'll go with you. Why can't I go with you, Lord? And in Matthew 26 and 69, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. You would have thought, well, he would have clued in right there, don't you? I'm going to tell you why he didn't clue in here in just a second, and why he denied the Lord. It says, and when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them, you were with him. This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. Again, he denied with an oath. He said, I promise that I was not with Jesus. Strike two, right? Surely he's gotten it by now. And again, he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while, they came unto him that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art with him, for thy speech betrayeth thee. We recognize by your speech that you're from Galilee, the slang speech that he had. And Peter curses. He uses a word that they couldn't even print in the Word of God. And he denies the Lord. He's ashamed to claim the name of Jesus. Why? Because he had an ulterior motive. He was there. Why? He wanted to see what would happen. Listen to this very carefully to me. When we set our own motives, when we set our ulterior motives and our own desires above that which is pleasing to God, that's when we deny the Lord. Peter had an ulterior motive. Peter wanted to see what would happen. So he justified in his mind not standing for his friend because he had an ulterior motive. You say, well, it's, you know, somebody says, well, it's not that I want to see what happens. You know, it's just that I don't agree or I don't care. That's even worse. Peter denied the Lord and was ashamed of Jesus because he had an ulterior motive. Ulterior motives will cause us to deny the Lord every time. Every time. But when we have no ulterior motive, may we be like the song says, Jesus, and shall it ever be, a mortal man ashamed of thee whom angels praise, whose glory shines through endless days. Ashamed of Jesus, soon or far, let evening blush to own a star. He sheds the beams of light divine o'er this benighted soul of mine. Ashamed of Jesus, just as soon let midnight be ashamed of noon. 'Tis midnight with my soul till he, bright morning star, bids darkness flee. Ashamed of Jesus, that dear friend on whom my hopes of heaven depend. No, when I blush, be this my shame, that I no more revere his name. Ashamed of Jesus, yes I may, when I've no guilt to wash away, no tear to wipe, no good to crave, no fear to quell, no soul to save. Till then, nor is my boasting vain, till then I boast a Savior slain. And oh, may this my glory be, that Christ is not ashamed of me. His institutions would I prize, take up my cross and shame despise, dare to defend his noble cause and yield obedience to his laws. It says in the book of Hebrews that he is not ashamed to call us brethren. Are you ashamed to call him brethren? When we don't embrace the truth, we deny Jesus. When we don't stand for our friends, we deny Jesus. When we don't speak the truth in love, like I have spoken the truth in hate in my younger years, or in turmoil, or trying to stir up problems, I have denied Jesus. Maybe you denied him this morning. in the way that you spoke to your loved one. Maybe I did. But you can always come back and look at Peter. There he was denying Jesus and weeping bitterly. But on the day of Pentecost, he wasn't denying anymore. He wasn't ashamed anymore. Several years ago, I was at Carrollton City Court. My good friend, Brother Brian Sparks, was back working for CRO back in those days. He was there too. He'll remember this. And I was over there knocking heads with misdemeanants and vagrant people. You know, they'd all lined up on the wall for court, and I'm out there being tough old guy, you know, knocking heads with them, getting them to plead guilty, you know, whatever. And of course, Brother Brian was back there talking to him about collecting fines and things. It's not a real pleasant scene. Well, it just happened to be the day that Mom had filled in as a secretary over there, and she was in the blue van. And she said, "Now, if you don't get back in time, I'll run the key over there to you at Carrollton City Court." I said, "Sure, no problem." So Mom comes wheeling in the blue bomb, pulls in there. We're standing out there, you know, I've got my game face on, and I'm talking to anybody, you know, "If you don't plead guilty, we're going to send you to jail, or we're going to do this, or we're going to do that." And all of a sudden I hear a voice, "Hey, hey." I turned around, and there was Mom. And for a moment, it was 1987, you know. And I was waiting outside the locker room, and she was bringing my cleats, you know. "I got your cleats. Here they are." You know, she comes walking. "I got your key. Here's your key." And she comes up and hugs. "Thank you for letting me help you today. It was such a great thing," you know. Hugged me, gave me the key. Brother Brian was standing right there. And she said, "Hey, Brian, how you doing? Ah, good to see you. Love you. Hug you," you know. And then she goes and boom, she's gone. And I was thinking in my mind, every one of these criminals thinks I'm soft now. And I was thinking, I dare them to say anything about my mama. They think I'm being tough now. If they say anything about my mama, it's going to be all, everybody's going to have a trial. But I'm going to tell you now, let me just be straight with you. Part of me wanted to run around the corner and disappear. Here comes the blue bomb. I'm 42 years old, you know. But that was a very small part of me, because I'm not ashamed of her. The way she has cared for me and loved me and brought me up and taught me, instead of being a rascal, try to teach me to be a decent person. And she'd come up to me anywhere she wants to, and she can say, "Hey, sweetie," anywhere she wants to, and I'll hug her and let her kiss all over me, because I'm not ashamed of her. I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of my father. I'm not ashamed of my mother. And I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. Wherever the Lord comes to you, wherever you have the opportunity, wherever you have that opportunity to stand by that friend, or to stand and say, "I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him unto that day," then you stand and do that. Amen. And you have a wonderful opportunity here today to stand and say, "I want to walk in the old paths. I want to walk in the old way. I don't care what I've been taught all my life. I don't care what I've heard, but I see Jesus now, and I see that he stood for me when even Peter walked away from him. I see that he went to the cross for me and hung there by himself, despising the shame, to show me how much he loved me." You have that opportunity to confess such a one with such love. We give you that opportunity as we stand and sing.